Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
It is your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Tuesday, the 19th of March, 2024. Later, we'll speak with Joe Youssef from Arias Asset Management on the day's market action, include the reaction to the Reserve Bank's decision to leave official interest rates on hold at 4.35%. For more, here's the RBA Governor, Michelle Bullock, addressing a media conference earlier today.
First of all, we're making progress in our fight against inflation, but it does remain high. As we've discussed before, in fact, at this previous press conference, it really is the big challenge in front of us. It confronts borrowers, renters, savers, retirees. It hurts everyone, inflation. And that's why it's so important that we get inflation back into target band of 2 to 3%. So recent data suggests we're on the right track, but the interest rate path that best ensures we bring inflation back to target does remain uncertain. And we're keeping a keen eye also on employment numbers because, as I've said before, we want to hold on to as many gains in the labour market as we can. What we need is greater confidence that inflation will return to the target band in a reasonable timeframe and will stay there. So domestic data over recent weeks have been largely as expected. The board believes the risks to the outlook are finely balanced and that it's too soon to rule anything in or out. The data showed a slowing in GDP growth in the December quarter, slightly higher unemployment rate, slightly higher wages growth, and a further moderation in inflation. We understand that households are still bearing the brunt of this inflation challenge. We see that in the weak consumption data, and we know that there is a big cost of living squeeze on households. Unemployment's also ticked up a bit. Employment's continuing to grow. But these are firmly on the board's radar, and that's why we're being cautious. Wages growth picked up a little further, and it's expected to moderate, but it may take some time. There's been little new information on services inflation, which is where the recent pressures have been. This strength has been because demand continues to exceed supply in the economy. So although there's signs this gap is closing and we're moving towards a better balance in the economy, things remain uncertain. And the other thing I would add here is that we've seen overseas that it can be a bumpy ride on inflation. So today, as I said, the board decided to hold rates at current levels. To the future, we still have to get inflation down, and the risks to achieving that remain finely balanced. The war isn't yet won.
That is the RBA Governor, Michelle Bullock. And for more, I spoke with Angela Jackson, lead economist at Impact Economics and Policy. Angela, the Reserve Bank left interest rates on hold as expected, but have there been any indications as to the next move in interest rates, whether it will be down and when? Any change in tone from the RBA today?
Look, more broadly, not really. We always look at, you know, the micro sort of change in tone or commentary. There were a couple of changes. There was a bit more in there around the domestic economy and around the weakness that we've just seen in the GDP figures. So I think the Reserve Bank acknowledging that the economy has slowed significantly. And it's worth pointing out, of course, that if inflation wasn't around at the moment, we'd be looking at interest rate cuts, right? If GDP growing at 0.2%, unemployment rising, this is when normally we see an easing in monetary policy and the Reserve Bank really stepping in. It's not, because inflation is still a concern and its main priority. We have markets really focusing on a very slight change in words, where last time they didn't rule out an interest rate increase, and this time they're not ruling anything in or out. Now that's being seen by the markets that it's less likely that the Reserve Bank will raise again. But look, let's wait and see. It's really going to come down to the data, how quickly inflation does come down, whether or not those wages pressures do keep flowing through the economy, whether productivity does lift and taking more pressure off inflation. So there's still a lot of uncertainty there that the Reserve Bank is really trying to move the economy through.
All right, so when do you then predict interest rates will potentially move? And I'm guessing the move will be lower.
Yeah, look, I think it will be lower. I think they probably have done enough. Remembering, of course, that the cause of this inflation really came out of those supply side issues coming out of the pandemic. We've seen a lot of that flow through the economy. Now, whether or not it comes down quick enough to see a rate cut by the second half of this year, we're going to really have to wait and see. And that will depend on a number of factors, I think, that are influencing the economy. There are always other shocks. You know, we've just had a cyclone in the Northern Territory. Now, that's not going to impact prices in Australia that significantly because it's not a huge producer of food. But imagine, you know, if there are natural disasters, for example, there are a lot of factors at play here that may well mean that we don't see that decrease in rates. So we see it later rather than sooner. But I do expect to see that we will see it by the end of the year. And so households will see that relief coming through.
That is Angela Jackson there, the lead economist at Impact Economics and Policy.
Now, Market Day on the SBS On The Money podcast.
And the Australian share market rose following the RBA's decision to close 0.4% stronger on the S&P ASX 200 at 7,703. For more, I spoke with Joe Youssef, the Chief Investment Officer at Arias Asset Management. Joe, interest rates really the focus of the market at the moment. We had the Reserve Bank of Australia leaving rates on hold. Over in Japan, though, ending its negative interest rate policy for the first time in about a decade. Run us through your feeling, because we've still got the US Federal Reserve and the Bank of England to come.
Yeah, and also we've got Chinese interest rates well and truly in vogue there as well, given their the well documented economic woes. Look, first and foremost, when it comes to the Reserve Bank, I wasn't surprised that they left rates on hold. I think it's very premature with regards to Australia, Ricardo, to be factoring interest rate cuts just yet. Look, I know there's a lot of people under mortgage stress, particularly who are looking forward to some some respite there. But the fact remains that if we don't keep inflation under control for long term, they're only going to have to raise rates again in the future, and we're trying to avoid that. So the Reserve Bank, even in the comments that they released today post the decision, have made it quite clear again that there's a lot of uncertainty with regards to Chinese economy, with regards to some political the wars in Ukraine and the like in the Middle East. But also there's a lot of supply-side pressures. You only have to cast your mind back to last week and the US. And the US is well ahead of the curve in terms of factoring in rate cuts. But last week we had, a stronger than expected CPI. The PPI was much stronger than expected. And I think that validates my assertion that we need to be very cautious with regards to factoring cuts. I think cuts will come. But I think personally, particularly with Australia, they shouldn't be cutting rates just quite yet, because the Reserve Bank themselves said it's still too high. Whilst it's moving and the trajectory is in the right direction, it's still premature, in my opinion, to be looking at cutting rates in Australia.
What's the implication for the markets? Because what we've seen so far is markets grow quite impressively lately, but it has pulled back in recent days.
Yeah, look, the recent pullback, I think, is a combination of firstly, the incredible strength that equity markets have enjoyed. So it's been a stellar start to the year. But let's strip it back. The equity markets globally, and especially in Australia, had sold off at the back end of last year. So there's been a real buoyant recovery. But what's that been premised on? I think in Australia and the US, the earnings seasons are Ricardo, and it's always ultimately equities. Values are derived from the fundamentals of the stock. So the earnings seasons have been generally quite optimistic and quite positive, and then the outlooks moving forward have been quite good. Whilst everybody's been expecting a recession or a soft landing, I think the data, both in the States and Australia and globally for that matter, suggests that the economic woes won't be as bad as the worst case scenario has been advocated or touted, and that's supportive for equities. So I still think and obviously with interest rates being forecast, particularly in the States, to be cut, that's got some impetus for interest rate sensitive stocks and those companies that are very highly geared. There's some earnings momentum there. I still think you end up buying equities into any protracted weakness. This is just, I think it's a pullback based on the fact that we've had such a stellar run. So I'm not overly concerned by it, to be brutally honest.
Now, I know one of your areas of focus is gold, and it's a pure coincidence that we've got you on a day where the gold miners are doing particularly well. So on the S&P ASX 200, the likes of Bellevue Gold doing extremely well, one of the best performers today. Perseus also doing quite well. And it comes at a time when the gold price is approaching or hitting record highs too. What's your take on that? And how much does that have to do also to today's rate moves around the world, like here in Australia, Japan, and where rates could go in the US?
Great question, Ricardo. Look, I've been a long-term bull for, with regards to gold. You know, last time I was on, I was advocating that gold would forge a new high, and it has in the intervening period. It had a bit of a sell-off, in recent times, and I think most of that because of the focus was on the rates being cut, particularly in the States. And, you know, but why is gold performing as well as it has? First and foremost, it will always be a store of wealth. There's a lot of uncertainty still with regards to the economics and the global geopolitical system. And whilst that continues to pervade, gold will be a focal point. But if you look at the Australian gold miners, throughout the course of 2023, the vast majority of them actually had really positive and buoyant forecasts for gold production and gold prices and gold quality. It was really it was one of the better periods I've seen with regards to optimism with it, you know, the gold producers. So it doesn't surprise me that there's been a bit of a rebound and a rally in gold stocks because the gold producers were sold off as the gold price came off. But I still think and then the backdrop of all of that, Ricardo, is for quite some time inexplicably, as I've said many times, central banks were divesting out of gold in out of their gold reserves, but for the best part of the last 18 months, they've been starting to reverse that and starting to reaccumulate, their gold reserves, and rightly so. I think in periods of volatility and economic uncertainty and political uncertainty, going back to the store of wealth, it was, as I said earlier, it was a little bit of a surprise for them to have divested out of gold, and that will continue to, I think, for quite some time, provide a really strong backdrop to the gold price because central banks, I think, will continue to purchase.
That's Joe Youssef there from RS and Asset Management.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.